What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
People need to vote, though. That's all I'm saying.
Vote?
Yeah, man. It's election day.
John,
get out and vote.
Why are you making it like voting matters, dude?
Oh, no. Here we go.
Voting? It's like, no. Look, I'm a big believer in voting, and I get really mad. I was really upset this election when people were like, I didn't like either one of them, so I didn't vote.
Nah, not an excuse.
No, not even a little bit. And the thing is, midterms matter. This isn't midterms, is it?
No, next year's midterms. Gotcha. But
yeah,
you know, New Jersey, I know, has a governor election.
New York does too, right?
Oh, is that this year?
I think so.
Oh, snap.
I haven't been paying attention.
Great job, Jay.
I actually still vote.
I'm just being honest.
I respect it.
James, did you vote in the last election?
You mean like when it was like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the last one?
Did you really not?
Are you
for real?
Are you stalling?
James, for real?
No, I did. I did. I voted.
Okay. You scared me.
Right, who did I vote for?
No.
Oh, you bet. Hey, we don't play those games. I will walk out of this podcast right now.
Yeah.
I have a friend who said that he voted for a potted plant, is what he said he voted for.
Your friend should be smacked in the face.
Wait, in 2006?
Did he like write in for the potted? Like, you know, you can just write it, like write a name in. Did he really waste? He should be smacked.
2016, he said potted plant.
In 2016, you're talking about the last King of Scotland. He voted.
Wait, what?
I'm so mad. What? No. What did that even come
terrible.
From?
That was terrible.
The last King of Scotland.
There's no need to repeat it.
Is who he voted for.
That was bad.
Boo.
Dude, that was bad.
I thought that was pretty good.
No one is with you. No one is with you. Nick, just start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James III, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what
it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood said it.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah blah.
Damn, that's 300,000 people right there.
I know, man. Honestly, that works, and it's very sad that it does.
That was the point.
That's very sad that it does.
My name is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Jerome Milligan.
And my name is James the Third.
I thought you were going to do like an African accent or something.
Yeah.
I thought about it, but it was going to be so bad.
I mean, what you did was also bad.
No, but like, it would have been like offensive to all African people. So I didn't do it.
Today we are reviewing.
It's my name.
Okay. Oh my God.
You got to finish it now. What is it?
Wait.
Okay.
And my name is James the Third.
That's not bad.
Thank you.
That's not bad. That's also, it's just a random, like, I don't even know where in Africa you're supposed to be from.
Who knows? Okay. So we review films of leading black actors. We talk about the films in the context of race in Hollywood.
Do we review movies with leading black actors? Or do we just review movies with black people on the poster? Like, what do we do?
I have the same question. What is the purpose of our podcast?
Like, what do we do?
We review films where black actors are the lead.
Are the lead, which means the main character in the movie.
Yeah. And we talk about that in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Why are you stalling?
Well, the thing is, anybody, the titular character. Anyone who didn't see the movie The Last King of Scotland, which is the movie we are reviewing today, starring Forest Whitaker and James McAvoy.
Starring James McAvoy featuring Forest Whitaker.
Those of you who are listening to this and haven't seen the film,
Good job. Probably
like, what are you talking about? The Last King of Scotland, the movie that Forest Whitaker won Best Actor for, the movie that James McAvoy, I didn't even realize was in, or maybe I did realize and I knew that he had a nomination from BAFTA for Best Supporting Actor. The movie where if I Google The Last King of Scotland, 7,000 pictures of Forest Whitaker pop up. The one where the poster is just Forest Whitaker on the poster and it says The Last King of Scotland and it's about a Ugandan dictator. Amin? How do you say his name?
Amin. But is Idi Amin?
Idi Amin. You're talking about that movie?
Or Maine.
What are you talking about? What do you mean he's not the lead of the movie? He clearly is. He won Best Actor for it. So the thing is, we're noticing, it's a pretty established rule now, that if the movie is about a black person and it wasn't created by a black person, then there's going to be a white character who's the portal for all the white people who are going to come and see this film.
Hey, man, John, I feel like you're making a blanket statement. I mean, it's not like we've reviewed movies in the past where you've kind of proven this point.
42.
Oh, what? 42? Wait, hold on. It's not like it had, oh, you're right. Han Solo was the lead. Yeah. I mean, but hold on. Wait. I mean, that's just one. It's not like we're talking about like...
The Dark Tower?
Wait, come on, man. The little white kid. The little white kid. All right, that's only two. That's not a real trend.
I mean, let's look at another... Best actor win for a black actor, Denzel Washington in Training Day.
Okay. Now you're doing it.
But that movie's about what's his name?
It's about a white cop who Ethan has Hawk. To have his roughest day at work. But you know what? Let's think about Hidden Figures, right? Because Hidden Figures is about black women. It's not like we have a white savior in that movie who's walking down the hall giving speeches and breaking down, you know, color-only bathroom signs or nothing like that.
Well, that didn't really happen in real life. But
what do you mean? They made it up to make a white savior in the movie?
Yeah. Cool. So we're doing The Last King of Scotland. Apparently, it's based off a book with the same title. The book is also fiction. It stars James McAvoy.
Why do you talk
as
about...
fictional doctor who didn't exist.
Why are we talking about like
wait a minute, like, this wait the doctor's not a real doctor?
No, bruh.
Not a real person?
No, bruh.
So the
wait
doctor,
a minute, you mean to tell me
honestly the doctor is not real? So basically,
right, well,
so basically, so
no,
basically,
hold on, let's stop here. Let's reschedule. We'll record another movie. We'll do another movie.
Honestly, I need to apologize to the listeners. Okay, we should have reviewed Love Jones, CB4, something where a black person was the lead instead of this piece of shit. Not only this movie's a piece of shit, but when you realize this movie literally was made up.
It's completely fake.
It's completely fake. And you had, and I'm gonna spoil the movie, but some white dude sat and was like, hey man, I'm gonna make something about this African dictator. Oh, and you know what? I'm gonna have the white dude have sex with a black woman first thing in the book. Right. And you know what?
Right off the bat.
I think he should do the ultimate thing. I think he should fuck the dictator's wife. That's what he does. That's what he does.
Yeah. So the real story behind that is that that wife did sleep with a doctor, but it was a black doctor.
Oh, you mean like the black doctor that was in the goddamn movie? Yo, my thing is, why? What?
And then also, she died during a botched abortion. Which is...
Oh, he didn't mutilate... You mean to tell me he didn't mutilate her?
No, actually, the doctor who botched the abortion is the one who mutilated her. And then Idi, the last king of Scotland, the dictator, took her remains and sewed them back up. Interesting.
That's interesting.
I mean, it's just like a complete departure from the film.
My question is, why?
It doesn't make any sense. And in fact, do you know how this guy went down?
Oh,
because it wasn't because some doctor escaped the country.
No, he got
and
raided.
Then told all the presses. It's because he started a war.
Yeah, and it happened. Was it?
And he lost the war.
Yeah, and it came. Was it 24 hours, 48 hours later, or something like that? It's like, yeah, he lost, and he died in 2003.
And then he escaped, and he went to Saudi Arabia, which the movie does mention, and he died in 2003. Do you know when he was born?
He was born. James,
I do.
I don't. I have no idea. Go ahead.
1923.
Damn. And he just died.
Nigga was 80 years old. He had a dream about him dying. He was right.
Wait, his dream was he was going to die like at 80 or something, right?
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to die old. I know guys, already.
I mean, I got to be honest. I'm so mad. I'm so mad. Like, so much so that, like, I'm not even, like, I'm not yelling or anything because it's just like, this... I mean, they did it again.
They did it again.
They did it back in 2006.
They did it again. And the thing that's crazy is that, okay, I know we talked about Fences.
We haven't done initial thoughts.
Because I can tell you my initial thoughts. This movie can suck. I'm not going to say that. But the thing is, it makes me so mad because I'm watching this movie. And for the first 30 minutes, it's just fucking James McAvoy. James McAvoy opens the scene. He literally starts the movie as a wealthy kid and is like, oh, I need to go do
in
something.
Scotland.
Yeah, I need to go do something. Any place on the map. Picks Uganda randomly and shit. And you know what he does? I'm going to go be the white savior. And the thing is, they made it so fucking happy. He's smiling. He has sex with a black woman. Gets back on the bus. Fuck this dude. And he's a fake dude. And at the end of the movie, you see like these black faces. Like smiling and grinning as he's being like kind of tortured, and it's like, yeah, look at the evil black people. And I don't like the shading of the black face that they put Forest Whitaker and Kerry Washington in. They didn't even have the makeup right.
Oh my god, that was terrible. It was real terrible.
Dark. But also at one scene when he walks in, when Forest Whitaker walks in and he's like, who's trying to kill me? Whatever, his face has so much makeup on it.
So much.
I'm like, bro, who worked on this film? Like, why? I guess this movie begs the question to me, is why? Why do white people or white directors, like, do you think this director patted himself on the back after he made this movie?
100%. The Academy patted them all on the back.
Like, why do people keep doing this, man? Makes me sad.
I just think it's really interesting that we have to review Lilies of the Field, because all I know is only 4 black actors in history have won Best Actor. Denzel Washington, Forest Whitaker, Jamie Foxx, and Sidney Poitier. So Lilies of the Field is what Sidney Poitier won for. I'm really interested to see what that film is about. Because we know Training Day, yes, Denzel is the most amazing actor in that movie. I think, you know, he deserved an Academy Award. They gave it to him for that. That movie's cool. I really like that movie. Ethan Hawke is the main character.
Yeah.
And Denzel Washington 100%. Is a bad guy.
Yeah.
And this movie that I never saw, I didn't realize until I watched it, James McAvoy is clearly the main, even more so than Training Day.
Yeah. He's the main character. Every scene.
And they gave the best actor to Forest Whitaker, and he's also a bad guy. And we don't learn much about him outside of the scenes. Now, Forrest Whitaker does a great job. Let's just say that right off the bat. One of the reasons we...
This movie ain't about him. I'm not talking about Forrest Whitaker in this movie because this movie ain't starring Forrest Whitaker. I need to talk about James McAvoy and the two white writers and the white director who wrote this movie, who directed it. Because they fucked over Forrest Whitaker, bro. I really feel like that. Yeah, he won an Oscar, but like he won an Oscar for what? For what?
I don't know this book, but the book is fiction. It's like, did they fuck over Forrest Whitaker or just in general, was this already going to look like this for him? Like, is the book not even really about the dictator? Is it more about the doctor?
Yeah, I mean, I have the book. I have the book.
The book is also a work of fiction. Sorry. Man. And it's about the doctor. Though there are some differences even in the book. Between the book and the movie. Let's talk about Forrest Whitaker, though, just for a little bit, because I want to talk about him, not the movie.
Not Forrest Whitaker in the movie, but Forrest Whitaker himself as an actor?
Yeah, let's go over... Do you guys have his IMDb? My phone is charging.
Oh, I can bring it up.
I can pull it up. I have Last King of Scotland open, so I'll just...
I just know that... One of the first times I really recognized Forrest Whitaker was the movie Panic Room.
same.
With Jodie Foster and Kirsten Stewart. And he was so great in that movie, even though he's like a burglar. He's like the nice burglar. Or he's the one who's like the rational one.
Right.
But
I feel like I knew him before then, though, right? Like he was in so many things before.
Right,
yeah, he's been in stuff. He's I remember him.
Yeah, man,
I remember him because he was famous back in the day. Because honestly, because he was like very dark skin actor. So like even in Don't Be a Menace While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood, they all when Bernie Mac is going on that the tirade of things he hates that's black, he definitely name drops the back of four with
Whitaker's neck.
It's so dumb. What are some of these?
Yeah, because we all know that he was in Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai.
We should
lead of that movie. recently in movies like Arrival, you got him in that movie. He was in that movie Vantage Point.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
No, I never saw it.
To me, the most important thing, but the one thing I want people to really know about Forrest Whitaker is that when you think about a lot of people who have made it in Hollywood who give back to like up and coming people. Forrest Whitaker is a part of the Sundance Film Festival, and he spearheads a lot of like black films we have now. Like he helped Dope get in the theaters. He helped Dear White People get in the theaters. He helped Fruitvale Station get in the theaters. Like Forrest Whitaker has legit like done it. Like he's done the thing that I feel like I always wanted to do, is like put people on. You know, right. He put so many people on, and he did it without taking credit for it. You know?
Yeah, one of the reasons I love Forrest Whitaker is because he's such an amazing... Wait, are you going to say... Where did he start? How did he start?
Oh, well,
he's such an amazing character, actor, and now has become like a leading man sometimes. But we don't have too many of those, I feel like. Usually, like, a lot of the leading black men are like very... You know, you have your Will Smiths and your Denzels who like look awesome. And you very rarely have black character actors who become so prominent that they get to be... stars.
Like we don't we don't have black
Gary Oldman's
have average men. Like, we don't have everyday character actors. We don't have the Tom Hanks yet. Cause that means if you're gonna have that kind of character, that means you're default. That means you're like just a standard person, then you can adapt from that. But usually like if you're a black person, you gotta be big and hulking or defensive.
But I mean even like a Philip Seymour Hoffman or
I'm trying to think of not Giovanni Ribisi.
Giamatti?
Paul Giamatti, yeah.
Oh my God.
Like we don't have black Paul Giamattis.
Nah. Stanley Tucci's.
But he got his first thing that was so crazy, not first, but one of the biggest things was Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh.
That 1982
snap.
Movie. 1982.
So my man has been out here for the longest time.
Yeah.
1982. Remember he was the host of the Twilight Zone, the new Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that, James?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember he's like in Species. I'm looking at this. He's like in Species and Phenomenon. And like,
He's in. Oh, like, oh, I remember him in Battlefield Earth, that terrible movie with John Travolta.
Oh, the what movie? That was about what was that religion?
Well, it's not about Scientology, but the guy who founded Scientology wrote that book because he was a science fiction writer. L. Ron Hubbard.
He probably thought he made it when he did that movie too, man. I'm sorry.
Well, oh, Battlefield Earth. Yeah. Oh yeah,
I'm sorry, Forrest.
Man, Forrest has been out here for a minute. So, I mean, he's great in this film, but all right, let's just start, I guess, right? Oh, can we look at the box office real quick? I know this movie has like an 87% Rotten Tomatoes.
Budget was $6 million, made 48.
Made 48 million, got that Oscar bump. It was nominated probably for a few. I know, I mean, obviously for Best Actor, and Forrest Whitaker won.
It was nominated for a BAFTA for best screenplay, best adapted screenplay. It got nominated for a BAFTA.
Okay, so only one Academy Award nomination for Forrest Whitaker. So this movie wouldn't have even been on the map in the Academy Awards if it wasn't for Forrest Whitaker, which is why they probably put him as best actor.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I don't want to talk about this movie. I'm upset.
Yeah, like, neither do I.
It's like I just feel like I feel wronged. I feel like I don't want to give this movie respect. I feel like talking about this movie gives it respect, and it doesn't deserve it. Like, I'm just like, I don't. Right. It's upsetting to me that legit you always have these movies, and you have these movies with these white men who always add a white character to be a savior and have the story. And it's like, if you want to do that, then just don't talk about black people, man. Like, if you want to talk about, like, a dictator, go find some white person in history and fucking add somebody into that story. Like, this dude legit added scenes where he fucked two black women, bro. Like, that's what he did. That's what he did. Like, it's not historically accurate. Like, he added that. And I'm like, for what, cuz? Like, for what? Yeah. And then the black dude who saves him at the end, then he dies.
Yeah. So the only person... like, before, like, at the beginning of the movie, I was like, I think I like how like, grossly privileged he is. Because, like, I can't wait for that to be, like, for him to realize, like, how shitty he is as a person.
Right.
And then... I mean, it never really happens.
It never really happens.
That's and then now to hear that, like, all of this was just made up, then it's just like, what the fuck even was this?
Like, it's based off of, so, like, apparently this character is based off of, like, a couple of people. One is this person who was considered a counselor. What do you keep calling him? You're my closest advisor. You're my closest advisor. But there was this one dude who was an advisor. He was from Britain, but he was a part of, like, the military. He was like an expat, an ex-British soldier, and, like, he came to Uganda, I guess, not similar reasons, actually. He didn't come to be a doctor. He came because he wanted adventure, and he installed himself into local politics. He wanted to be a part of politics. So much so that he actually...
Yeah.
He was, like, apparently just as guilty when all this stuff went down and people, like, realized, like, all the war crimes and all these terrible atrocities that were being committed. You know, this guy got equal share of the blame because he was, like, a supporter of Amin. So he wasn't a good guy, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And then there was another person who was a doctor, but he wasn't Amin's, like, close personal doctor. He was just a doctor that was, like, a part of the administration who was Scottish. So they, like, took a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and then just made it. And they took, like, the story of the affair.
The black doctor.
But with a black doctor. And his personal doctor, Amin's personal doctor, was also black. And they just took a bunch of different stories and, like, put them all together into this white character.
What is this?
So what just even? For the just for the listeners like, who, like, want to know, like, wait, what is this? Then what if that's all the real stuff? What's the movie about? The movie literally starts. We start with, like, a bunch of young white people, like, half naked, like, jumping into a lake. Literally, that's not a joke. Like, that's the actual start of the movie. And then you realize they're in Scotland. They just graduated. He just graduated, got his PhD. He's a doctor now. He's at home. His parents are like, good job. Like, not as good as blah, 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 but, like, still good. I forgot even what that
was. He was, like, basically not as good as my scores. His dad was
not,
like,
as good as my scores, but, you know, good job. And then that upset him so much that he goes back to his room and screams. I don't know why.
Yeah, great.
Did you understand why he screamed?
Because he's frustrated because his dad isn't taking him serious.
His dad doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Though his dad congratulated him because he gave him, like, a little bit of shade, he's upset at his father. And so he literally takes a globe and he goes, wherever your finger lands, that's where you're going to go. And he spins it. Wherever your finger lands, that's where you go. Wherever you're going to land, that's where you're going to go. And he hits it and he says, Canada. And then he's like, nah, I don't want to go to Canada because there are white people there and, like, I can't be a savior there. And so then he mumbles that to himself and then he spins it again and he lands on Uganda. And then now he's in Uganda. He's on a bus. We see him on a bus. He's talking to a woman there who speaks English. He's, like, asking her some questions. He literally sees the military president.
I can't talk about this dude.
Like, and then...
I'm not about to, bro.
Like, yeah, because it is a joke.
Let me know when we get the fourth one. I'm not gonna keep talking about this white dude in this movie that's supposed to be about a black person. Like, I'm not gonna do it. You're telling me Viola Davis had to get nominated and had to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress when she was the fucking lead of her movie, but Forest Whitaker, who I love, got nominated for an Oscar and won for Best Lead Actress when this movie's about some privileged ass white boy?
Like, for real. And the thing is, I'm not even a racist dude, but I'm saying, but this movie is about a privileged white dude. This nigga had a chance to pick any place he wanted to go on Earth and had the money to get there. Just think about bullshit. My man went to college, got a PhD, and is upset his dad made a joke. Like, you don't see his dad yelling at him. You don't see his dad saying, you ain't shit, son. You don't see them living in poverty. This nigga had a house with fucking yak beside the bed.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? And this nigga had a globe in his room that was huge, picks a place, and goes to fucking Africa, is in a bus, and is now talking about some, just happy, playing along with people, and he has sex with a black woman.
Yeah, unexplained. Literally, he's talking to this woman on a bus, and then it just cuts to a scene with them having sex.
This movie's fucking offensive,
bro. It's a joke that the movie starts like this. It starts like this with, like, they are hammering in how privileged he is. Like, they're giving us every opportunity to go, fuck him. He's such a jerk. Like, I can't blah, blah, blah. Like, they even laugh off the Canada, Uganda, like, kind of, he just, like, flippantly decides where he's going to go, right?
Right.
And for the movie to move in the direction that it does, is like, it's laughable that this is what this movie is about.
Right, because like, I guess, like, to me, what the movie was trying to set up in the beginning was like, oh, he's not racist. Like, he wants adventure. He's this white, he is a white boy who's like, who has this weird, like, privileged sense of, I'm going to help the world. Like, I'm going to help the poor black people in Africa. Man, I really do love Forrest Whitaker's speech at the end, by the way.
It's the best part of the movie.
It's so great.
It's the best
part. It's great. It's
the best part of the movie.
It's so great. And it's so real. Great. And I'm like, I'm on this guy's side. This murderer.
I think everyone is.
Are they?
Yo, I mean,
I don't know.
No, because they took
it. And then David Oyelowo wakes him up and is like, he even says, you deserve to
die. Yeah, you deserve to die. I'm like, he does deserve to die.
My thing, he deserves horrible things to happen to him. Because my thing is, you don't go, when the woman gets, yo, there are parts in this movie that I honestly find disgusting.
Well,
I would rather watch marathon. No, James, I would rather watch a marathon of Boo 1 and Boo 2 and Madea's Christmas on loop for 24 hours than to ever see this movie again. I actually want to erase the fact this movie exists in my motherfucking mind. Because I plan on working with Forrest Whitaker one day, and I'm going to say, hey, Forrest, for real though, that movie is some bullshit. You know it, right? And I want him to nod and say, yeah. Because he has to, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, John, my man not only has disrespected the black culture in this movie, bruh, but he's disrespected black women. Like, at no point, if you're going to add these, like, fictitious things, okay, add a little bit more about his wife. You know? Tell us a little bit about her. Tell us a little bit about the son, then. Add something, bro. My man made a character who not only has sex with this black woman, goes and tries to fuck his bosses. What's her name? Scully. He tries to fuck Scully.
That's in the beginning of the movie.
It's early on. He keeps saying,
Oh my God,
it's
that
okay.
was so gross.
It's okay.
So he gets to this place, whatever. He's a doctor. He gets to some place, who knows why, but there are other doctors there. They're white. Gillian Anderson is there.
Who that?
Scully.
Scully from X-Files.
And she's married to the main doctor who is there. Mm-hmm. But they're like hanging out. Like, you know, there's like one little scene where you could tell like she's like sad that the husband is leaving again and she like never gets to see him. And then, you know, there's a scene where they go to see the president like give a speech. But then afterwards, they're just like at a house. And they're like talking, and then he like tries to kiss her, and she's like, "No, like
you don't
understand."
Realize something different that I peeped early on, or not early on, but late in the movie, that Scully gets a chance to explain herself. Like they have this moment, she's like, "I can't do this," blah blah blah. She starts walking out the house. She stops. She comes back and explains why she can't do it and what it means for her to be in Africa. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
When Kerry Washington has this affair and tries to come to him when they have a she's pregnant, spoiler alert, by this white dude, and he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't let her finish talking at any point. He cuts her off and just tells her, don't do that. That's what he says to her.
Right, don't go to one of the doctors in the village to get an abortion.
Yeah. But my point is that you let the white woman finish. She finished, she gave you her spiel. But the black woman you had an affair with and got pregnant, she wasn't allowed to talk. Okay, white writers and director, cool. We can keep going with the movie now.
Yeah. Should we talk about that first speech that Forrest Whitaker gives? Because it's like, it's the first time you really see him.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, wow, he's... And I imagine this is what this dictator was like, you know? Like, a lot of... They say, like, you can tell there is something about him that's, like, a little scary, but there's also, like, he's very charming. Mm-hmm. He's, like, he's out there. He's, like, you know, he's riling the people up. He's saying the right things. He's laughing. He's jovial. And, yeah, it's, like, I don't know. Like, in the beginning, I was, like, yeah, Forrest Whitaker is stealing the scenes, but he's not the focal point.
No, because half the time they're always talking about him before they actually get to meet him.
Right.
Like when he's first on the bus, he's like, oh, is that Admin? And they're like, yeah, that's him. We're so happy. And then, you know, when him and Scully go to see him, they're talking about him.
Right.
So it's like he's not a part of the movie.
Right. And she says, like, all these people were cheering the person he overthrew. Mm-hmm. When that person overthrew the person before him, they were all cheering the same way. Like, mm-hmm. And she just, like, didn't want to be there. And I think the movie... I really don't know what this movie was trying to say about anything about white people, because it clearly wasn't, even though there were times where I thought maybe it was going to. Like, at this part, I was like, oh, are they trying to set up that she's, like, a little bit racist? And then I realized, no, they're just trying to set up that, like, James McAvoy's character is naive and doesn't realize how evil all the black people are. Right?
He's too naive to know what's really happening.
He's too naive to know what's really happening.
And the black people with him, though. It's like the black people at that point were really happy. And she's like, they don't know what they want. This guy is going to be just as bad.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's like all the black people are, all the black citizens are stupid. Mm-hmm. And all the black leaders are bad.
Yeah. And you just...
Is that not what is happening?
Yeah. Just too naive to know it.
Well, I do think that the movie does have, like, a clear opinion about the culture. Like the second James McAvoy shows up, the main doctor's like, you know, they still believe in witch doctors. Most people want witch doctors, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, when there are final moments. Yeah, yeah. And when there are final moments when he first meets Forrest Whitaker and he's, like, talking about how he knows precisely when he'll die. He saw it in a dream. And, like, in the scene, like, when he meets... his wives. It's like the movie. Look, not that the movie said much about it, but there's a tone when these things happened that, like, very much felt like the movie was looking down on just cultural things, like having a dream. I don't know if having a dream about when you're gonna die is a part of the culture, but I wouldn't put it past a society of people that have witch doctors deal with that as a part of their culture. To just for someone to be like, I had a dream of when I was going to die, and to just have that belief. I don't know. Like, it just felt like they were, like, pointedly going, look at how bad this is. How different this is.
Kerry Washington deserves better, yo. Like, think about it.
She does.
Between this movie and, was it, Django?
Oh, God.
Like, she's too good of an actress to be doing this bullshit, bruh. And the thing is, both of those movies were made by white dudes who thought they were doing something. Like, I'm looking at this movie, and I'm looking at the poster of this movie, and fucking, like...
But not just the dudes who made it. Everyone who watched and celebrated this film patted themselves on the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Academy patted themselves on the back. I thought that this movie... I thought that Forrest Whitaker was the lead of this movie because of how celebrated this movie was. And nobody at the time had an issue with the fact that they were telling a story about Uganda, literally Africa. Again, by the way, when you know what movie beat The Color Purple?
Mm-mm.
It's a movie called Out of Africa. You know who that movie stars?
Wait,
Meryl Streep.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm not kidding. The movie stars Meryl Streep. And it's about two white people in the country of Africa. They constantly celebrate movies that are about the African country it's just white people who are their leads. And then when a movie came around, Beasts of No Nation, where it was all black people and telling the African story, guess what didn't get nominated for one Academy Award.
Bro, hold on. Time out, bro. Do you know how much money this movie made out of Africa?
How much money?
Out of Africa's budget was $28 million. It made $128.5 million. This is a drama, bro.
Yeah.
Starring Robert Redford?
Yeah, Robert Redford and Meryl Streep.
Nick. Yo, hey, listen, I'm not even going to keep yelling during this episode.
This is in the, this is what I'm saying. This was the 80s. Then flash forward to 2006, and they're still doing the same thing, and they're still patting themselves on the back. Flash forward to 2017, the movie about Thurgood Marshall comes out, and we haven't seen it yet, but all we've heard from our fans is that that movie is starring, what's his face?
Oh, do I do, right?
The dude from.
I'm about to pull it up.
From the Wedding Ringer. I know he's a funny guy.
Josh Gad.
Apparently, he's like one of the main characters. He's really the main character in that movie. You know what I mean? Like, this is what our podcast is about. I know there are probably people listening to this movie who watched The Last King of Scotland and really liked that movie. And
you're
really like James McAvoy. And you're like, I didn't know about this story and blah, blah, blah. But here's the other thing about this. We're going to talk about this. The other thing that I think is really insidious is that, okay, I agree. This dude was a bad guy. This dictator was a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. He was. Terrible.
Do you know who owned Uganda?
No.
From 1900 to like 1950? Mm-mm. Or actually probably earlier than that? The British. You know what happened? You know all the... remember there's a scene in this movie where he kicks out all the... I think he says in the movie he's kicking out British citizens, but you can see that it's like Indians and Asian people who leave.
Yeah.
So that was a huge thing. Do you know how all those people got to Uganda? Mm. Like, why are there Indians? Jerry, like, oh, why are there Indians in Uganda? Mm. How do they get there? The British. The British took them there so that they could literally be a buffer between the blacks and the white people who were ruling. They didn't want to really talk to the black people, so they put the Indians in place to be the middle class. So that, in fact, I was reading that they accounted for 1% of the population and had 25% of the GDP.
Who, the Indian people?
Yeah. And so what happened was all the Africans started becoming racist towards the Indians because they hated them because they were looking at them like, you're stealing our stuff. Mm. Like, you got... British people brought you here and now you're making money and we don't get to be in the positions of power that you are, and the government was catering to them. So what happens is when this dude comes in, the Ugandan guy, he comes in, he's like, we're kicking them all. By the way, it happened a year after he became in power. This movie acted like it was like years and years later. It happened the year after he came in power. He kicked all those people out. Now, was it a bad move for the economy? Yes. And like it could be handled in a different way, but you don't know the history. When you know the history, you go, okay, there was a reason, though. He wasn't just a madman. Mm. He wasn't just some crazy person. You know what I mean?
Wait, like, so you're telling me you're going to make a movie about like a dictator. It might be interesting to show all facets of like maybe what it was like before he got into power, what it was like when he was in power, what his mindset was while he was in power, and what happened when he was overthrown.
Yeah, and maybe talk about some of the stories of like all the white people who were doing bad things. How did you guys not? Who is that white guy in this movie?
Oh, the British guy he keeps going to?
Yeah.
Wait.
You guys think, like, James, did you think he was a bad guy?
I didn't follow any of the anytime he went to talk to the British dude and any of the conspiracy and I didn't follow any of it.
Right. Like, you didn't know who he was. But in the movie, it sets him up, right? You thought he was bad, right? He's like, oh, he's a bad guy. And then you realize, like, oh, he just knows. He's like, no, James McAvoy, like, you just don't realize what's happening.
Yeah, the whole time.
And they exonerate all the white people. Do you realize that? Is there one white person in this movie who's a bad guy?
John, just to paraphrase the story you told earlier, apparently there was a person who wanted, a white guy who wanted to be a part of the government who was just as bad or who was... You know, they could have made a movie. They wanted to make a movie about a white dude during this time. They could have did it on the one who was like fucked up.
Yeah.
Like that would have been great. Like, just show me that dude. But no, you wanted to have a bunch of saviors in this movie, bro. Yeah, you're right. There's not a bad white person in this movie. Not one.
They're all good people. They're all good people who do good things.
How do we talk about this movie? I'm not talking about I'm not talking about these white people in this whole movie. And I'm not racist. Just people know. Don't want to do it. I don't want to do it because the thing is, this movie ain't about us. And I want to talk about Kerry Washington's character.
Yeah, let's talk about Kerry Washington.
She's in this movie, and I thought she was going to have a bigger part because it's Kerry Washington. She's on the poster. Like
they threw her up in the title.
She's up there. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. She's in this movie. She's the wife. I'm like, all right. And to me, if which is true in real life, that they did have this kind of relationship where, you know, he kind of disowned her. She got a little bit older, which they don't really touch on, but like that's what happened. She had like 3 kids or something like that. She got older. His son was sick and he didn't want to, you know, claim the son and all that kind of stuff. Tell me that story. Or don't use her as another plot device just to get the hero to the end of the movie. Because that's all she became. She became something at when James McAvoy was on his down and out luck. Like she legit looks at him and she gives him that like lusty look when they're at the pool. And then when James McAvoy gets really drunk, she saves him again. She's like, oh, no, not here. And then they immediately go have sex. They have this affair.
Why? Like, why does she have that affair with him? Why would she risk her? She knows that's a risk. She's risking her life.
She legit.
Why does she fall in love with him?
Legit, he goes, ah, fuck it. She stops him and then kisses him again. Like, first off, she ain't that crazy. Like,
it's like they had sex like at the party that he was at.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't even go like hide or meet up. They literally just walked away from the party together, went to another room and had sex, and then had the audacity to lay in bed after?
Yeah.
They just had an affair with a dictator?
Who at this point, James McAvoy, remember at this point in the movie, he is scared of him.
Yeah.
So you just give no, and not only that, but dude, but this is my thing that's so fucking disgusting, is that this woman comes to you, I'm not gonna lie, I got a little mad. I was so mad he got her pregnant. I was, like, the moment I realized I was, my fucking heart was hurting. He gets her pregnant, and then she comes to him, and he shuns her so quickly, dude. At no point did he ever become understanding in that conversation, yo. So when he starts crying at the end, I get that, someone died, and you feel bad about it, but you didn't care about that woman 3 scenes ago.
Yeah.
And basically, you just had this black woman that had to be a victim, yo. How many times are we going to watch movies that are set back in a different time period when black women are just used as a crutch for the man in some movie, dude? They always get abused. They always get hurt. They always get beat. And it's only to propel the hero of the movie to do the right thing.
Right.
Like, come on, bruh. Like, come on. Like, we don't give black women any respect in these movies. We just don't. I mean, I'm even thinking about Hidden Figures. And again, Hidden Figures doesn't even give the black woman respect because at the end of the day, she still has to have, what is it, fucking Robin Hood knock down the colors only bathroom, and she's doing these Robin Hood to bring her in the damn control room.
Wow.
What are we talking about, man? I'm over here fucking the postman gotta let her in the damn control room to see the damn thing that she created. What are we doing, bruh? What are we doing? Like, does no one understand this? Like, I feel like if someone listens to this podcast, like, oh man, they're so angry. This ain't even anger no more. This is just like, what? I'm confused, bruh. Right. What is this? Man, we should have reviewed. Is it a Boo 3 yet?
James, are you still with us?
I'm here.
James, you really just hate
me. Yeah, like, I
ain't even mad at you, bro.
James just sitting back.
I ain't even mad at you, James. I'm looking at the poster right now, and it's like, what are we saying? Like, legit, the only time I actually like the movie is the speech of Forrest Whitaker at the end of the movie. That's the only time I like the movie. And yeah, he's about to do something fucked up in it, but that speech is so honest. What?
I can't necessarily verify the complete accuracy of this, but I'm just reading this thing right here that says, people should know that the creators of the film barred it from being shown publicly in Uganda. They knew that people here would corroborate the information and the film would lose its credibility.
Wow. Uh-oh, Slate did an article about it.
Wow.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning 1 fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Yeah. This, James, wait, you want to talk about some?
Like, is it like, when we put, like, hey, how's LA, James?
It's good. It's nice. It's like 97 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's hot. Cool. Damn.
Yeah, no, it feels good. You know, the wind is nice. So,
I mean, I don't even want to talk about this. And I feel bad because I just think you guys should really, I hope if you listen to this podcast for a while, you are kind of picking up on the things and we're not just always bullshitting. Like, this movie is not about the black man. It's supposed to be about, you know, and 42 wasn't about the black man. It was supposed to be about. Hey, this is not.
yeah. So the thing I do want to talk about really is like this speech, some of the speeches that happen, really the one at the end.
Oh, I wish I could find a transcript for that.
So like at the end, you know, Forrest Whitaker's character, Amin, finds the president, Amin, finds out that, you know, he slept with his wife, Kay, Kerry Washington, and they literally, so he's like there and they like have him beat up and he just goes, says something that to the effect of, you've never experienced anything real in your life. Your whole life has been fake. Ooh. And you came to Africa because of some fake dream, but this is real and we are real people. And your death will be the only real thing about you.
That's real.
I was like, damn.
Because what did he say? He's like, yeah, you wanted to come to Africa and like play white man.
Yeah, you want to play the white man. You wanted to play the white savior. He literally says that to him, and it's 100% accurate.
Yeah, it's like, that's what you planned on doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, then the movie completely undercuts the weight of this speech by having David Oyelowo come in, revive him, and then tell him to his face, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Because there's literally no reason. So the script people, they just wrote, he goes, why are you doing this? I don't know. You deserve to die. But then he's like, but maybe you can redeem yourself and go, you know, tell people what's really happening here. And I'm like, why? Everyone already knows. We've clearly shown that everyone already knows. The only reason that he knows is because of all the papers. This dude has no idea what's happening here. He's the least informed person here.
Bruh. This movie.
And then David Oyelowo's character gets shot for helping save him.
And the movie ends with James McAvoy on a plane getting his shoulder rubbed by some random woman. So that's what this movie is about. Can a black person win an Oscar for just being a good person or like having some type of internal conflict? You know, can a black person get nominated and win an Oscar for maybe a role like, I don't know, even Leonardo DiCaprio's role? We had to play like a person who fought against all odds to survive. Can a black person win that Oscar? Or does a black person have to be the cause of the trouble in the woods? You know?
Right.
Can we have the Martin Luther King, Malcolm? Oh, no, I guess we can't because someone has portrayed Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and neither one of them got an Oscar. Did David even get nominated for an Oscar for that role?
David Oyelowo?
Yeah, did he get nominated?
You know that he didn't get that. Wait, for Selma?
Yeah.
No.
He didn't get nominated.
No.
Honestly, I thought he... Okay. Well, okay.
No, that was the year of Oscars So White. Yeah, man.
So, I hope everyone's having a good day. Like, I'm supposed to say about this movie.
Yeah, James, you got to help us out, man.
Because this movie's like... You can't...
No, I just deleted all of my notes.
Well, you know,
I have nothing to talk about. I deleted all my notes. We pretty much already covered it. There's a lot about it that just like, you know, there are just a lot of examples of times where he's blatantly privileged that it's like that, you know, I'm just kind of waiting and hoping for his comeuppance. It never comes, you know.
Well, I'm going to skip to a Dear Hollywood because I'm done talking about this movie.
Yeah, honestly, it's so weird. It's just like, why? Yeah, you're right. Like, why are we talking about a movie in which it's completely fake and for no reason? Like, they couldn't even come up with a lame excuse as to why they added this fake character.
He's a white dude.
What is the purpose of him?
Forrest Whitaker said it. White savior movie.
What is he saving? He's a terrible person. This fake character is a terrible person in the movie.
They're just showing, they wanted to make a movie about the dictator, and they wanted to say, oh, how can we tell people about the dictator and get them to watch it? Oh, let's put a white guy in it. Because apparently a dictator isn't interesting enough to have a story.
A white guy who was so naive to think that like people of Africa could lead their own countries, and who was so naive to think that the British people were there like taking away from Africa, while we all know now after watching this movie, no, the British people were there to help try to save Africa, and the Africans are the ones who are screwing it up by cheering for evil dictators and evil dictators just doing really bad things. Let's completely ignore the fact that, oh, by the way, this dude was supported by the CIA. This leader.
Was he?
Yeah. He got weapons from the CIA. Let's ignore all of these instances of the United States organizing coups, of the fact that the British Empire colonized so many African countries and then stripped them of their resources. And then even when they finally, quote unquote, left, they actually still kept people in power. Let's ignore the fact that even freaking Israel, at the end of this movie, we learn that Israel just, with the armed force, invaded this country to get those hostages. Now, should those hostages have been there? No. I'm not saying that that's okay. But could you imagine that? Could you imagine if somebody from a Middle Eastern country took a SEAL team to Guantanamo Bay and killed a bunch of people there to free their prisoners? What would we do?
Oh, you know what America would do.
Even though we all know that Guantanamo Bay is illegal and messed up, what would we do if another country came in with their military and took out our people to free prisoners?
Right, you know what they would do.
So what's really interesting about this movie is that it actually says nothing. All it is doing, it's like, yes, we get it. This dude is a bad guy. You didn't tell us anything about him. All you told us is that white people are trying to come in to help, and they were too naive. The white person who tried to come to help, he was a dumb, naive, little privileged kid, and he got his butt whooped, almost got killed, because he didn't realize how big and bad all the Africans were. That's what the... Please tell me if that's not the message of this movie. What is the message of this movie? Like, because I legit don't know. What were people celebrating?
That. White people can make a movie much easier than black people. So why not tell a story that's different? So let's tell a story about a black dictator. But hey, we wanted to sell and be, you know, important. So let's make it with a white lead. John, if you don't mind.
Please.
God, I don't know how to start this off. Dear Hollywood, can you stop being the douchebag at the club who's just drunk and just swinging your dick around, hitting on any chick you want? Like, you actually don't give a fuck about none of them. You just want to prove that you can get laid. Can you stop being that disgusting asshole? Could you give Forrest Whitaker, you know, not only an actor, but a producer who's bought us dope, who's bought us Fruitvale Station, which helped propel not only as director, not only as writer, but not only as actor. He did that on his own back. Can you not give my man, who's also producing a movie coming out called Roxanne, which is going to be one of the dopest movies of all time, with Nia Long, Mahershala Ali is in it. My man, who's also bringing us a movie, Sorry to Bother You, that gave our boy, Jermaine Fowler, one of his biggest parts in the movie to date. Mm-hmm. My man deserves better than this. My man deserves for you to not use him as some type of prop to put up to say, hey, you know what? We got to give another black guy an actor. This one's good enough. Let's give it to him. Because we ain't fucking stupid. We saw the movie. We know this movie ain't about him. We know this movie isn't about this black character. Can we stop making movies like this? Like 42? Like Hidden Figures? Stop propelling it like you actually give a fuck. And just, you know what? Be like Trump. Stop giving a fuck. Just be honest about it. You know what I'm saying? Don't sit here and be like, oh, we're the liberal place where you can come and we can tell stories about, you know, about everyone. Everyone's accepted. Because that's not fucking true. It's not true. At the end of the day, like John said, we don't have a Gary Oldman. Like, we don't have character actors. We're not allowed to do that kind of shit. We got to fucking save the day. We got to be really fucking handsome. We have to be at to a point where, you know what? They're cool. They're black. But, you know, they're more than that. You know, they're more than that. You know, can we get a story? If you're going to tell one of our stories and not fucking consult or do real history or do real research on the objects or the person that we're talking about, how about you have a black person who knows something about it and just check in on some shit? My man had a movie. This movie puts a black woman in it as a prop, yo. And literally disembodies her. Like, that's what happens. He fictionalized a white man impregnating a black woman. And the white man lives. The black woman gets cut up in pieces. And the black dude who eventually saves that white man is killed for saving this white dude. At no point in your fictional story did you have one of those addendums at the end that says, oh man, the white guy went back and took care of the kid who needed medical help, who now is what? Dead? Like, what is that?
I think that kid wasn't even real.
Oh, get the fuck out of here! Are you serious?
I am serious. Well,
Hollywood, all I ask is this. If you're going to include African Americans and people of color in your movies, and I'm not even going to say white men, you can't make movies about black people or people of color. I'm just saying respect the topic and the subject that you're making the movie on. Respect it. Research it. When you make this movie and you realize that your white person in the movie is giving all the speeches and saving the day, question, why am I really making this movie? What kind of movie do I want to make? Just have a little bit of care and concern and class about it. That's all I'm asking. Be better, Hollywood. Ugh. Fucking piece of shit ass movie. I gotta stop.
And I just have something really quickly. I'm looking at this article from April. Okay, so it's from April 11th, 2017. Thank you.
Okay.
And the truncated title, I'm just going to give you guys the truncated title, is 11 Awesome Movies in Development. Okay. 11 right. Awesome Movies in Development.
Okay. All right.
Guess which one is number 6.
I'm about to Google this right now. 11 Awesome Movies. What website?
Remember, that's a partial title.
11 Awesome Movies.
Full title.
What?
Full title is.
Say it.
It's on digitalspy.com.
What's the what's number 6?
Digitalspy.com.
You guys guess.
Oh my god. Is it?
It's Hancock, obviously. Obviously it's Hancock 2. So it's, you know, they call it an awesome movie, so I appreciate that. And they say, I'm just going to read what they say about it.
You're making everyone mad.
The first Hancock wasn't as well received as it could have been. You know, probably because it muddled the second half. Like, muddled just like a little bit.
A little bit?
Cool. And like a little bit. Anarchic principle of a drunk, careless, homeless superhero who annoys the city he lives in and made it into a convoluted love story about gods or something. But that doesn't mean we couldn't still have a sequel. See? With Smith back in the beanie hat.
Okay, all right. John, can you set up...
No, set like this end, is...
No, James, James, you did it.
They call it an awesome movie.
James, you did it.
Give a shout out to Digital Spy.
James, you did it.
Give a shout out.
You probably just Google Hancock and that's the only thing that came up.
It was the most recent thing. So you guys act like it's not in the news. But it was in, it is in the news. In the news. As recently as April 11th, 2017.
James, you're right. James, you are 100% right. John, can you please set us up?
Yeah. I've officially confirmed that she had no children with him.
I don't even want to know that, bro. I can't. I'm good.
They actually divorced before he died. Okay.
This movie is hot.
Hot. It's time for the cause.
Trash.
We rate and review films not based on how, what? Oh, the facts that
it
I described?
It gets nothing.
It's getting nothing for me, John. I can't wait. It's getting nothing for me.
Is that what you said what to, James?
Yeah, I can't believe what's happening.
Nothing. It gets... I wanted to give it a palm. I know. No,
wait,
John.
Hold on. I got to explain what the 30 things are.
Fine. Go ahead.
Rave review film. No. Some people are listening and they're like, I love The Last King of Scotland. And if they somehow managed to get to the end of this, which they probably did, they probably turned it off because they felt really guilty about the fact that they loved the movie and then we got angry at it. And then they got defensive and then they turned this movie off. It's cool, man. When you get defensive, think about that. You're like, oh, cool. I'm getting defensive because something that I believe is being attacked. And I understand, like, your beliefs are part of your identity. So when something you believe is being attacked, you feel like you're being attacked. Let us just tell you right now, we're not attacking you, okay? We're not. If you like this movie, we're not attacking you. We're trying to open your mind a little bit and
I am. I'm attacking them,
okay,
honestly.
Okay, James, there it is. But I'm just saying, we're showing you a different perspective. You have time. Do you have time to take this in, think about it, mull it over, go back, maybe watch the movie again, and think about what we said while you're watching the movie and go, why is James McAvoy the lead of this movie if he's not a real person in any way whatsoever? What are they trying to say in this movie? What are they trying to say about Africa? What are they trying to say about Uganda? What are they trying to say about the people here?
What kind of setup? Are the calls that you doing right now?
Anyway, so we rate the film based off the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If we think it helped the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood, not based on how much we liked it or how well it was made, we give it a black fist, full black fist if it helped the cause, a white palm if it kind of helped the cause, or we don't give it anything if it didn't help the cause. On the count of three, you ready?
Yep.
James,
it's getting nothing.
You ready? One, two, three.
Ugh. I know what you're going to get. I know why you gave it a palm.
I gave it a white palm.
I know why you gave it a palm, and James? I thought about it.
Yeah, I have a palm, too.
Nope.
All right, we got two white palms and nothing.
I gave it a nothing because I think this movie is disrespectful.
Yeah.
I think, and again, I'm not even talking about the performances. Like, I totally understand. I'm very happy that Forest Whitaker won an Oscar. I do. I think he's a great actor, but I also think
he did great.
I think that he deserved more. I think that he deserved more scenes in this movie. I think that he deserves an Oscar for a movie that he is officially the lead of. I think he was used as some type of, I don't know, some type of like
marketing
tool. Yeah, just like for show, saying, "Hey man, we have this movie with Forest Whitaker. He's playing like this evil, ruthless president of Uganda," and it was just fake and it was fictional. I hated how they portrayed Kerry Washington in this movie. I almost wish she didn't do it. Like, yeah. I honestly wish she didn't do it. I think this movie is almost worse than Django for her character, because I hated her character in Django because she is literally an object that they're just trying to get. That's it. James McAvoy, who I've met in real life, who is a dope dude, and I get this is earlier in his career and like he was trying to get on, but this ain't it, man. This ain't the swag, and I'm really disgusted with the director of this, who is now doing a Whitney Houston documentary.
Who is this guy?
He's doing a Whitney Houston documentary right now. This motherfucker is doing a Whitney Houston documentary. You know who the doc's gonna be about? It's gonna be about her white chauffeur. That's who it's gonna be about. He's gonna add Kevin Costner and just had a bodyguard out of nowhere and be like, oh, this is real. That's what he's going to fucking do. I don't like that this book was made. I don't like that these two writers adapted this movie. And the thing is, I want people to understand that we're not just shitting on movies to shit on movies. This movie is marketed as a movie about Forrest Whitaker, and it's not. It is about a white man doing the most privileged of white things, going to another country, like literally having sex with his women. A woman dies because of it. He sees the error of his ways and how bad the black people really live and how good he had it, where he had it from, when he goes, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I should be saving little old ladies. And you know what he does? Another brown person sacrifices their life so he can go back and live that life and have a story to tell when he's with his friends having a cocktail and a dinner. That's what he does. That's what this is. And the thing is, this movie was celebrated by Hollywood, the same business we want to get into, which is honestly kind of sad now to think about it, that this is the movie that they champion. So
a little bit about this director, by the way, Kevin McDonald. He's a documentarian. He's a documentarian, and this was his first like feature narrative film. Why? Why did they give this film to him? Before this, he directed Touching the Void, A Brief History of Errol Morris, One Day in September. These are all documentaries. Chaplin's Goliath. And guess what documentary he directed in 2012? Marley. About Bob Marley.
I'm not talking about the dude no more.
All right. James?
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a palm just because he won the best actor. Like, I felt like, just based off of why we give movies fists and palms and nothing, like this movie helps the cause because he got a best actor award and he won, like, the nomination and he won it. So, like, I can't say that it doesn't help the cause at all. The movie itself is complete and utter garbage. We've made that very clear over the last hour. But yeah, like, you know, he won the Oscar. So like, what else, what am I gonna do? What can you do?
Yeah. Wow. The BAFTA really celebrated this film. It won Best British Film. It won Best Screenplay. It won Best Actor. And it was nominated for Best Film.
Great.
And nominated for Best Actor in a Supporting Role, James McAvoy. yeah, I gave this a movie a white palm because Forest Whitaker did win Best Actor, which I think does help the cause ultimately. It helps people recognize who Forest Whitaker is, which got him more roles.
Did he get more roles?
Wow.
I mean, I'm on his IMDb. Should I keep going? I'm gonna call out his lead roles after this movie.
You know, you have David Oyelowo, who got a small part in this film, and obviously he went on to start leading movies. Kerry Washington's in it too, I know, under dubious circumstances, but it did give some of our bigger players some roles, and he is like the prominent, you know, actor in the movie. He's the one that people remember the most. But this movie wasn't about him. It's just really sad, honestly.
Hey, I'm sorry,
we did another sad movie. Hoodwinked for real.
Can I shout out some of his lead movies since the release of this one?
Okay.
Let's play a game. All right. I'm gonna say a Forest Whitaker movie, and you guys tell me if you think he's the lead or not. All right. Arrival.
Well, we know he's not the lead of that. Amy Adams is.
Rogue One.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Another white woman is the lead.
Okay. Black Panther.
No, he's not.
Okay. Labyrinth. All right, now there's a movie that's coming out that's examining the murders of Biggie and Tupac.
Ooh.
Do you think he is playing an investigator who's doing it? Or is it a white person who's trying to figure out is Biggie or Tupac? Come on, guys. Come on.
Is it really a white person?
Oh, it's Johnny Depp. Niggas, y'all playing. All right, come on. Come on. Y'all fucking with me. Y'all talking about how the Oscars are helping niggas out and shit. Okay. All right. You know what? Okay, I got one.
What's that?
I got one. Lee Daniels, the butler.
That's right.
He was the lead.
Okay.
2013.
He was a butler.
He was a butler to all of the white presidents before him.
He was a butler to all the white presidents.
Woo, man. And you know what? That was considered an Oscar movie. That's considered an Oscar movie. Woo, good Lord.
That was Oscar fair.
Okay. All right. One more. All right. Out of the Furnace.
Nah, man, he's barely in that movie.
Oh shit, man! I tried to get you on that one. Christian Bale. I tried to get you on that. So this was fun.
He's in Southpaw. He's not the lead of that, obviously.
Oh no,
he was in Taken 3. He's not the lead of that either. Oh, he was in The Last Stand. He's not the lead of that either.
He deserves better than this, dude.
Damn.
Like, and honestly, Forest Whitaker deserves better than this. He deserves better than this.
Actually, the butler didn't get nominated for any Oscars.
Why'd you even tell me that? Why'd you do that?
Thank you for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast. It's on Twitter. We're on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where you can check out things like our show Projecting, which recently was screened at the New York Television Festival. Thank you for people who came out to that.
Thank you.
You can follow me at John Braylock on Twitter and Instagram. JohnBraylock.com is my website. James?
James Third Comedy and JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
Yeah, I'm back on Twitter and I'm on Instagram at Gerard Milligan. Chat. Let's complain about this movie together. We should actually write it. I actually feel somewhat compelled. I may find this person and send them a letter, yo. I may legit find a director and the two writers and send them letters because this is crazy.
It is pretty crazy. We gotta review
something good.
If you want to review us, you can go to iTunes, review us, give us 5 stars, and we'll read your review out loud on the air. Thank you for all the people who have been doing that. We appreciate it. I have some reviews loaded up here. You guys ready for them?
Yeah.
All right. This one is by... Let me just make sure I'm doing people who we haven't got. I think I did this one.
Man, I really want to do a movie with...
All right. This is by Quirky Punk. Quirky Punk. So entertaining, heart emoji.
Thank you, short and sweet.
This podcast is... Nope, it's not. Oh, that's not just it. The title.
Oh, gotcha.
This podcast is so entertaining. This was solidified for me when I listened to their review of Baywatch, a movie that I was planning to avoid, and their review changed my outlook of the movie and made me excited to watch it. I rented the movie immediately after listening to the podcast, after class, of course. Even if you haven't watched the movie or don't like it, the three of them make the experience worthwhile. 10 out of 10, I love when they go on tangents and rants. Thank you.
Thank you.
This one's by BossyPants47. You brothers are killing it, is the title.
Lit.
Thanks so much for a fresh, honest, relevant, and hysterical critique of our roles in the film world. As a WOC director in theater, I appreciate that my frustrations are discussed with truth, with the truth it deserves, but with the humor that gets us through. Keep doing what y'all doing, my brother men. God bless.
Bless, sister.
Thank you. I'll read one more. The title of this is 3 Black Men, 1 Noble Cause. This is by Great Granderson. This podcast isn't just entertainment, it's education. It's about more than being woke, it's about being aware. Undoubtedly, Hollywood is typically unfair to ethnic and gender minorities, but nothing will ever change unless more people become involved in the conversation and push for change. The hosts approach this serious topic with heart and humor. They are funny, insightful, and at times justly indignant. Ahem, Jarrah.
Excuse me?
It's an ideal balance. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much. Those were really nice reviews.
Yeah, thank you. What are we doing next? Let's do something fun. Something that like we know we won't hate.
Yeah. Next week will be November 14th. Do you guys know what you want to review?
I kind of want to review Love Jones. I've never seen it. And I was shamed at an audition by a bunch of black women for not watching it.
I've never seen it either. I'm down.
James, you down for Love Jones?
Also down.
I need to find somebody who can watch it. Y'all got
1997
wives.
Film Love Jones starring Lorenz Tate and Nia Long. Go watch it.
All right, y'all. Peace.
See you next week. Peace.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.